We used to think that if a baby was born at 37 weeks or so, that was pretty much full term. But doctors now say that babies born between 37 and 39 weeks may face an increased risk of things like learning difficulties and behavioural problems. How much control, though, do we have over how long babies stay in utero, I hear you asking? Well, one program running across 63 public hospitals is aiming to reduce early births, and the people behind it believe that it's really working. But significant challenges remain, particularly for some First Nations mothers and babies. Professor John Newnham is the chair and architect of the Every Week Counts National Preterm Birth Prevention Collaborative. He's a maternal medicine specialist. Professor Newnham, great to have you on Life Matters.
Thank you.
And Dr. Kiana Brown is the clinical lead for the program in the Top End. She's also a consultant obstetrician and gynaecologist. Dr. Brown, thank you for joining us.
It's absolutely my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Let's start with a quick explanation, I guess, John. Can you tell us the difference between being born preterm and early term and why that matters?
Well, it matters a lot. So we were all taught as young trainee doctors that term is 37 completed weeks of pregnancy. But we now know it should have been 39 weeks. The fetus is not fully mature until 39 weeks. So we've not changed the definition of preterm birth, which is birth before 37 weeks. We've added the phrase early term birth for those 14 days between 37 and 39 weeks that we know are so crucial, in particular for later school age years.
And that's interesting, isn't it? Because preterm birth can have terrible outcomes, and people are very aware of those very early births and how difficult it is for a child to survive that. But what are the problems if a child misses out on that last 2 weeks?
So a lot happens in the last 2 weeks. Our emphasis has been on the brain development. We're very interested in what's happening at school age. And we think the very rapid rise over the last decade or two in early term births, such that now one in three Australian babies is born in that 14-day period, we think that's accounting for a good proportion of the behavioural and learning problems that our school teachers are reporting at school age.
So it's that direct a link, in your view, between those learning and behavioural problems and that extra 2 weeks of not being in the womb?
Yeah, there's a wealth of data. We have a cohort study in Perth called the RAIN study that showed it elegantly, but the data are the same from everywhere. New South Wales has published very good stuff 14 years ago or so. It's from all over the world. There are no studies disagreeing with the strong association between early term birth and subsequent problems at school age.
And we'll keep that distinction in mind here on Life Matters as we discuss this. Early term is that period between 37 and 39 weeks, and preterm is before 37 weeks. Kiana, you were born and bred in the Northern Territory and now you practice there, and you're from an Indigenous background yourself. What do we know about the rates of preterm and early term birth for First Nations babies in particular?
So what we know is that we have unacceptably diabolical high rates continuously of preterm birth in First Nations populations. And in 2024, we should be, with all of the technologies available to us, we should be seeing better rates. We should be seeing a narrower gap between First Nations and non-First Nations, but unfortunately we're not. And what we know is that across Australia, that, you know, the rates of preterm birth in First Nations women compared to non-First Nations women is often double the rate. And in the Northern Territory, we're seeing rates of preterm birth that are comparable to some of the, you know, most disadvantaged places across the world. And so, you know, it's time to make some change. We can't keep accepting this as the norm.
And it can be such a devastating loss, can't it, if you've got a really preterm birth. What impacts do you see, Kiana, for mothers and for communities when those babies are born too soon?
It's absolutely devastating. And unfortunately, what we tend to see is repetition in families, that families are losing babies continuously because of preterm birth and without any answers. And so we know that First Nations women are more likely to lose babies in the very preterm stages, often in the non-viable stage of pregnancy, but late preterm birth as well. We've basically seen, particularly here in the top end of the Northern Territory, we've seen rates continuing to increase over the last 10 years.
So, John, what causes preterm birth and early term birth generally in a country like Australia?
Well, there are many, many pathways to being born too early. The early term birth has been heavily due to obstetric intervention. In other words, babies being born when they don't necessarily need to have been born. A lot of babies need to be delivered for the safety of the mother or the child. They're not the ones in contention. It's the one where they could safely be left to 39 weeks, which are the ones we've been so targeting.
And in terms of preterm birth, do we still know much about that?
Well, we do. We know how to lower the rate. We've lowered the rate in Australia by about 6% with this package of interventions that we worked out originally in Western Australia and have now rolled out Australia-wide. So we know they work, and that's a combination of education and public health, of healthcare practitioners and the general public. Some ultrasound measurements that we've introduced, some pharmacological treatment for women that we know works for women at risk, and continuity of care of the healthcare provider. So we worked out a package of 7 interventions, and rolling those out across Australia seems to have been effective.
I want to get to that continuity of care in a moment, but 6% lowering of the rate of preterm birth, that's thousands of babies, isn't it, John?
Yes, so the latest national data came out 3 years ago. We're looking forward to the new data in a few months' time. But we introduced the national program in mid-2018. We lowered the rate by 6.5% in the first 3 years. That amounts to 1,700 cases prevented each year, which is an immediate saving to the federal government of $90 million each year.
And the human cost is dramatic. Just a full disclosure, this is something that I've been through twice, preterm, very preterm losses, and it just devastates a family. Kiana, you published a study recently about the factors that were contributing to preterm birth in the top end in particular. What did that study find?
Well, we found that actually the risk factors for preterm birth between First Nations and non-First Nations women was actually the same, but the magnitude of prevalence of these factors in First Nations women was always much greater. We found that important factors like socioeconomic disadvantage and remoteness were independent risk factors for having a baby born too early.
So what's going on with remoteness in particular, Kiana?
Well, it's probably multifactorial, but it's about social determinants of health. It's about having access to adequate housing and safe housing. It's about education and employment. It's about resources. It's about accessibility to health services. And I know you'll talk about continuity of care, but in, you know, remote settings, we have a lack of workforce that can provide adequate education and care to people.
Well, I noticed that you wrote in another context that recent evidence has shown that First Nations women have better pregnancy outcomes when healthcare services are constructed to specifically meet the needs of First Nations families. How available is that kind of culturally safe, culturally relevant care for a lot of the women you see in remote areas?
Yeah, that's a great question. We've been doing some amazing community consultation and getting out and speaking to women in remote communities. And what they want is they want to feel safe and have trusting relationships with their healthcare providers. I don't think that costs, you know, diabolical amounts of money for the government. I think that we can easily construct services that involves the community and makes it a safe space for women to engage and express their concerns.
It's interesting, isn't it? Because you've also noted that there's often a transient workforce in remote areas in the healthcare centres, and that can make it difficult to form those relationships. Are there ways to do that without kind of suddenly skilling up and training a whole new cohort of First Nations healthcare workers? Are there ways you can do that within the community itself?
Well, I think that there are. I think that we're not thinking outside the square. I mean, you know, obviously what I would love to see is more Aboriginal obstetricians. I'd love to see more Aboriginal midwives. I'd love to see more Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander health workers out there in community, in urban, working in the maternal health space. But that's a long way off, really. We need to be able to find innovative ways to use the workforce that we have to get in people interested in wanting to work remotely, but in ways that they also feel supported and valued in their workplace as well. I think that we need to stop thinking that people have to absolutely work one way. There are lots of ways that we can be creative about delivering services that we just haven't trialled yet.
There's also a focus on Aboriginal community-controlled health organisations. How powerful that would that be, Kiana, providing the resources to them to provide that kind of culturally safe service because it's led by First Nations communities?
Yeah, well, we have some excellent existing research on that. We know that when health services are constructed in partnership with a strong culturally safe workforce, but also with First Nations leadership and governance, that we do have good health outcomes, good pregnancy health outcomes, and that speaks volumes for what we can achieve in this space.
We're speaking with Dr. Kiana Brown, who's the clinical lead for this program in the top end. She's also a consultant obstetrician and gynecologist. Professor John Newnham is the chair and architect of the program. It's called Every Week Counts, the National Preterm Birth Prevention Collaborative, and he's a maternal medicine specialist. John, just to re-emphasise some of those strategies that you've been using, the clinical strategies to try and ensure that more babies are born as close to 39 weeks as possible. You've talked about avoiding ending the pregnancies before 39 weeks. Excess of caution. You've talked about prescribing progesterone to women who might have a shortened cervix or a history of spontaneous preterm birth, and discouraging smoking. How important is that?
Well, they're all important. Which one's more important really is not the point. As a package, they seem to be working. And that's what we've rolled out across Australia. Australia's the first nation to have a national preterm birth prevention program, and Australia looks like it's now the first nation to have strategically lowered its rate of harmful early birth.
It seemed amazing to me that simply increasing continuity of care, John, can lower early birth rates dramatically, and in Indigenous communities in particular, I understand. Why is continuity of care such a powerful intervention?
Well, we're learning. This is about being human. I mean, we crave continuity of care in so many ways, in so many aspects of society. And we've now learnt that continuity of care in the setting of pregnancy was almost the most powerful strategy we've got to lower preterm birth rates, about a 28% reduction. And in Indigenous communities, it's up to a 50% reduction. It's a very powerful thing. We are herd animals. We love being together. We crave being together. And it does influence our healthcare outcomes. And as Kiana so eloquently said, being in isolation is very tough for us as humans. We need to be together. And that needs to be reflected in how we provide healthcare services and the models by which we provide them.
I guess, John, a lot of our listeners will be thinking, but surely you just don't have that much control over keeping a baby in the womb that is looking like it's going to come out. How much can you impact the rates of early birth?
Well, our aim in this national program, and the first stage is now drawing to conclusion this month, was to lower the rate by 20%. So our preterm birth rate, we had already lowered by 6%. The early term birth rate, it looks like we've lowered in the 63 hospitals we've been intensively working on by about 10%. That's 4,000 babies prevented being born early term each year. And that's the end of the first stage. We funded this off a federal grant, which was awarded to us in May 21. That ends in June of this year, and we are up in the budget in May of this year, hopefully to be renewed. We've impacted in this program 54% of Australia's public births, which is about 125,000 per year. And what we want to do now is get the other 50%. So we've done half of Australia, and we're now applying for resources to do the other half.
And John, what tends to sway politicians most? Is it saying to them, look, we can reduce the harm caused by these learning and behavioural difficulties, the human cost of that across someone's lifetime, and the terrible cost to families of potentially losing a baby? Or do you say to them, it's going to cost you X dollars?
Well, I'm very proud to say that the politicians we've engaged with seem to understand. I mean, we have massive engagement across the hospitals and the public across Australia. We have engagement with people like yourself and the ABC, which is very, very welcome. But the politicians who are leading this from their aspect seem to well and truly understand the enormous importance. Preterm birth is the single biggest cause of death in young children, and it now looks like we can really do something about it.
Dr. Kiana Brown, what would you like to see happen in the future when it comes to early births, particularly within First Nations communities?
Yeah, I feel like the more people we speak to about this, the more you see how frequently preterm birth touches people's lives. And, you know, even in your experience, we've had health ministers, we've had, you know, other politicians, other high profile figures that say, I've been affected by that as well. This is something that we can change. We know that. We've seen the evidence. We know that we have the tools to change it. But we also know that we have the commitment from the health workforce to want to change these things. In terms of, you know, First Nations women and preventing preterm birth, I think what I really want to see is that women, First Nations women all across Australia, but particularly in remote First Nations community, have access to the basic needs that they need to have very healthy pregnancies and very healthy babies and very strong families.
Amen to that. Thank you both so much for coming on to Life Matters today. It's a really important topic. I'm glad we could discuss it. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Professor John Newnham is a maternal medicine specialist and the chair of the Every Week Counts National Preterm Birth Prevention Collaborative. Dr. Kiana Brown is a consultant obstetrician and gynaecologist in the Northern Territory and the clinical lead for the collaborative in the Top End.
Find more great ABC RN stories that take you beyond the headlines on the ABC Listen app.